This is a man that needs no introduction.
Who is this guy?
The most knowledgeable columnist in the city of Pittsburgh.
Some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey.
He goes by only one name.
Hotter than Bond, cooler than Bullet. Shaft.
No, it's not Shaft. It's Rossi. And he's here right now on Trip Live Radio.
Rob Rossi once had carpal tunnel. I'm not sure about plantar fasciitis.
We know how he got that.
Yes, we do. He's our Trip columnist extraordinaire. He joins us
now.
Too
much typing on his laptop.
Oh, I thought it was something else. Column headline today from Rossi: Ben, Steelers in good position with bye. An optimistic spin from Rossi on the Steelers. What's going on, Rob?
Yeah, I must have been sick yesterday or something. No, I just, look, I don't think they're a great, I don't know if they're a great team. I think they might be a decent team, but I look at the AFC right now, and it seems to be crumbling a bit to me. The Denver Broncos have a real challenging situation on their hands with Peyton Manning, and the New England Patriots have offensive line issues. Now, they're going to be really tough to beat, but, you know, I think they're more beatable, certainly, than their record indicates. That was evident again yesterday, but it's a pretty average Giants team was competitive. Teams have been competitive with them in recent weeks.
And they lose Edelman now.
I think the Bengals are really good, but I also think, you know, I'll take Ben Roethlisberger in a one-game situation, or at least I'll put my money on him over Andy Dalton. So I just think the AFC is a little bit more wide open than everybody thinks, and, you know, if they get this guy healthy, you know, he has to play better than he has in recent big games, and certainly in the playoffs, but they have the type of team, I think, that could surprise a lot of us.
Well, yeah, it's a great point. And, you know, in terms of the Patriots, not only Julian Edelman going down, but Deion Lewis too, Rossi, and Peyton Manning's injury, and as you outlaid it, what's realistic in these final six games to expect from Pittsburgh?
Realistic? I mean, I think they should win four of the final six. If you think they lose to Cincinnati,
which
I'm not sure they do, they usually play pretty well up there, but if you throw in a loss to Cincinnati and then, you know, a loss to one of either Seattle, Indianapolis, or Denver, you know, they should beat Cleveland, they should beat Baltimore, and they should beat two of those teams. And to be honest, guys, I don't look at any of them as unwinnable. I'm not saying they're going to run the table, but wouldn't shock me if they won five of the final six.
They beat Baltimore.
Again, not because I think the Steelers are a great team. It's just I look at this right now, and when you have a league that seems to be, right now anyway, as bunched together as it's been in terms of the competitiveness of these games, I will take a healthy Ben Roethlisberger in those situations, which means the Steelers have a real good shot in these final games.
They beat Baltimore, Cleveland, and Denver. They're in. They beat Baltimore, Cleveland, and Seattle. I don't know. Then they're going to need help. But they get the,
well,
they get the third.
Those are their only wins.
Yes. I mean, because I've always said they can get in at 9-7. It's just got to be the right nine. So if they're only going to go 3-3 the rest.
Baltimore, Cleveland, and Indy.
Cleveland, and Indy. Okay, yeah.
As long as their AFC wins.
Baltimore, right. Cleveland, and Indy or Denver. All right, I'll put that in as a caveat. Thank you for that. You're right about that. So they could go 4-2. Denver now becomes the swing game. They go 4-2, they'll get in at 10-6. I don't think they'll be left out of this AFC at 10-6 with four more conference wins. No way.
I agree with you. I think if they win four more conference games, they're in. I think if they win four games, they're in, because I'm not very confident that the teams they're battling with are going to win 10 games. I think it's a very mediocre conference. I think the drop-off really after the six teams, and maybe even after the five if you put the Steelers, is significant. I look at the AFC right now. New England's got Brady. To me, that makes them the favorites. I think Cincinnati, top to bottom, is the best team in the conference. After that, given the situation in Denver, I don't know who's the third best team. I just don't know. Because Indianapolis, to me, is a tire fire, and I don't trust any of the teams below the Steelers. I think this is a really weird AFC year. To me, guys, this is not dissimilar to the year where that was just celebrated yesterday by the Steelers, where going into that postseason, I did not get a sense. I don't remember having the sense going into that postseason, man, after Indianapolis, I can really tell who the second-best team is.
Right, because Denver had Jake Plummer.
Exactly. But, I mean, you know, is Jake Plummer that much different than Andy Dalton in terms of what we know about him?
Rob, I think it's hard to judge even what we have sitting here, even if you're not comparing it to the rest of the conference, because you have a defense that I think they're starting to, you know, have a little chip on their shoulder because they've outperformed what the media and I think fans' expectations were. And you have an offense that can't stay healthy. I mean, right down to, I mean, as I said last night, if Ben Roethlisberger didn't expect to play yesterday, he's nuts because the way this season went, there's no way they get through a game without a significant injury.
Well, yeah, and I mean, think about it. This team is going to have gone 10 quarters at the end of the year with its three best players healthy.
Roethlisberger has started and finished one win. That's it.
So I guess what I'm saying is I don't know if there's any evidence to suggest the way it's gone that Ben Roethlisberger is going to be healthy or that he's even going to finish some of these games. But if he is, more than ever, I give them a puncher's chance because I just don't, as I watch more games in this league, I don't see that team, especially in the AFC. I just don't see it.
Rob Rossi's our Trip columnist. He joins us here on Trip Live Radio. You had a quote from Arvell Smith in your column, Rossi, and reflecting, I thought that's pretty interesting, you know, remembering that season 10 years ago and the run they had to go on and the comparisons to this team. I want to throw into you, because we always got to get a little Penguins fix in, I was talking to Verron Haynes, and he made mention of a team meeting they had right after they lost to Indy and before they went on their 8-game winning streak. And he said the leaders called it, and we came together, and we said nobody's pointing fingers anymore, and everybody write down on a piece of paper what you could do better. And he thought it was an unbelievable team bonding spark to the team. And I couldn't help but have that finger pointing coming out from your boy Gino over the weekend. I mean, the difference between teams that bond and those that don't.
I've not talked to Evgeny. I don't know what he meant in that spot. So I want to be clear. I mean, mad at each other is a very volatile phrase, but, you know, it's possible he could have meant we're mad at each other because of the way we're playing. Right. Again, I've not talked to him, so I don't know. But, yeah, that team meeting was a look. Excuse me. In the interest of full disclosure, I think everybody knows I don't really believe in what the Penguins have done for a long time now.
Full disclosure. We didn't need any disclosure there.
Well, yeah. Well, some people might be tuning in for the first time today, Ken. I hope we get new listeners every Monday and every Tuesday.
Yeah,
but anyway,
that's true.
My point is this. There are team meetings that rattle teams out of a funk. There are team meetings that have the air of there's a real rot here. I think the players have started to figure out there's a real rot here. And the reason I say that is this. Other than Marc-Andre Fleury, the four best players on this team are Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and Kessel. And they're all underperforming right now, significantly. I don't get the sense that there's any faith in this coach, perhaps in this coaching staff. I'm wondering if the stars have lost faith in the direction of the franchise, and that's why they look so visibly agitated. But that was a concerning loss. It was a concerning weekend for a number of reasons. I'll go through them real quickly, guys. One, once again showed how futile they look offensively against division teams. Even the win they had this year against Washington, they did not look good offensively. That is a trend that has been going on for months now. Two, they had sort of apparently righted the ship, winning 10 of 12, and they go into these games and they just look like all of the problems resurfaced, which to me says, at the very best, this is going to be an inconsistent team, and those type of teams usually don't win big. And then, of course, you throw in the fact that they don't seem to have any actual answers. Nothing anybody says publicly gives you the indication that they have any answers. And when that's the case, there has to be a change. And I'm very surprised right now that there's not more chatter about a change. I wonder if they're allowed to make one because of the sale. I wonder if Jim Rutherford is being stubborn. I don't know. These are all questions I'd love to have answered. I don't know who's running the Penguins right now to answer these questions.
Stat of the day, 160 players in the NHL have more points than Sidney Crosby.
Well, yeah.
Stat of the day, Bobby Farnham has as many goals as Sidney Crosby.
Yeah. We have as many even strength goals as them, the four of us. I mean, let's not look at this also as a league thing, because Patrick Kane's on pace for like 120-some points. Tyler Seguin's on pace for 100-plus-some points. This is not just a league thing anymore. Crosby's on pace for 53 points. Malkin's on pace for 57. The only reason Malkin's not getting killed in town right now is because he hasn't been as awful as Sidney Crosby. And here's the worst part about those guys. You tell me. Do you even notice them sometimes?
No. Nope. He's just another player.
So they better have a good look at them this week.
You and I talked at the football game yesterday.
But I don't know.
Rob, you and I talked at the football game yesterday. And you were spot on with saying that game Saturday was very much like the Toronto game before Therrien got fired. And I'm not saying that's going to cause this, and there are other issues, as we mentioned, with the team being for sale. But that was the kind of lifeless, effortless game that was the last straw for Michael Therrien.
And if you remember, guys, before Mike Therrien got sacked, the Penguins had started to show some life. They had had about a stretch of 7 games where they had started to play better. And then the bottom kind of fell out. And that was a different general manager who made that call. So we'll have to see. I mean, Jim Rutherford has proven to be, I think, commendably, a very loyal guy to the coaches he's hired. But again, I would remind Jim Rutherford, if he were asking my opinion, I don't think he is, this wasn't the coach he wanted. You know, he had other top choices. This was the guy he settled on. This is a very tough decision. Because if you do make this, it looks like you're letting the players call their shot.
Again.
But at the same time, you're 10-7, right? And you still, based just off the fact that your goaltending's been so outstanding, you're 10-7, and you are still in a decent position in this East, where you can kind of start to see the conference is getting away from the Penguins a little bit in terms of the way these teams are starting to play. And it's a bad thing when the New Jersey Devils, who have significantly less talent than the Penguins, look like a superior hockey club.
Well, this would be the third coach then that they get canned. Because they did it to Therrien, they did it to Bylsma, and then they'd be doing it to this guy too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean this one you would make an argument that this one never really had anything to begin with, right? Like they didn't even give this guy a chance.
No, they gave the other two a chance. I mean, and in the case of Therrien, what other choice did they have? They're a brand new guy.
Well, they got to a Stanley Cup final with one and they won a Stanley Cup with the other. Whether people want to give those guys credit, whatever. I mean, they did do that. I just think that, look, I think the Penguins' problems are much bigger than the head coach. But I also think that the Pittsburgh Penguins have to start being realistic about what their situation is. And their situation right now is that they are not a very good hockey team. And they are in trouble from this standpoint. They've had a pretty easy schedule to begin this year. The games will get tougher. And if they can't beat division teams, how are they going to be competitive for a playoff spot?
Rossi, should be quite the fascinating week. We thank you for your time, as always, on this Monday. Talk to you Wednesday, bud.
Appreciate it.
Rob Rossi, Trib columnist here on the Duffy's Beer Trib Morning Show. And Mondays on Trib Live Radio are brought to you by Relax the Back Solutions for Pain. Feel better, work better, live better online at relaxtheback.com. Now selling the mattress of the future, the most comfortable bed that you will ever sleep on. relaxtheback.com. All right, Tim, I've waited an hour and 20. You have not pummeled me yet.
For Ronda Rousey?
No, for my signature win. I mean, I'm ready to take my lumps here. Come at me. For the Penguins, I mean, this is as horribly wrong as I've been all season, and I'm ready to just get in the fetal position and take it. I am stunned by what happened to this team over these last two games.
You're stunned?
Yes.
I guess I
know the Canadians.
Well, Ken,
believing. What I mean,
I can't overreact to your
Crosby was scoring. I mean,
when you have a big win like that, a letdown Friday might be somewhat understandable. Not two games in a row. I don't want to hear three games in four. I mean, I've heard it all. I can't believe the lack of production from Crosby, from Kessel, from Malkin.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, you can look at some of them and say, well, Kessel's done this, or well, Malkin leads the 10. There's nothing there. And what is it, 13 straight power plays now? Forget everything else. Forget everything else. Forget league-wide tendencies, rules, net sizes, goalie equipment. You have to be able to score on the power play with the players this team has. That is mind-boggling that they cannot score on the power play.
And now they're trying to do different things on the power play because they finally, at least partially admitted that Sid the right circle isn't the right way to go. But when you watch it, he still gravitates there quite a bit. And the new stuff they're working on, they're working out kinks. I mean, like, I actually believe they're trying to work things through, and they are working out kinks of the power play. But it's they should have
Jason Kink, 6 foot four defenseman from juniors.
They should be so far beyond that right now because they should have changed things over in the power play years ago.
Maybe that was a signature loss if they had a locker room meeting. By the way, this morning's practice has been moved back from 11 to 11:45 or noon. So, like, this is the state of this Penguins team right now. They're not showing up at any time they're scheduled to show up at.
Time to get the new coaching staff on behind the bench.
Wait, what do you mean by that? Like,
well, they were supposed to have an 11 o'clock practice. They've now pushed it back an hour. It just seems like a team that's in total disarray or...
I don't know, the practices. I mean, that
yeah, maybe that's nothing. Maybe.
They might be doing more video work, or they might be having a team meeting or something.
But they
like
had a closed-door meeting after the loss in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
This was the quote from Josh Yoey at DK on Pittsburgh Sports from Malkin. Quote, everything. We don't play right. We don't work hard. It's tough right now. We're mad at each other. We need to stop, look in the mirror, and start working.
We take petulant hooking penalties. Oh, that's me.
Yeah, he's taking bad penalties in the O-zone. Sid seemed to kind
of... That quote you read there was from Malkin, right?
From Malkin.
Yeah.
You don't see Sid saying those quotes or saying, no. Like, everybody... It's more Gino's more reactionary.
Well, Sid wouldn't say poop if he had a mouthful.
Go down Taylor's road of bringing poop and everything.
Sid would not say anything because he wants to defuse everything. Gino just only knows so much English, and when he's mad enough, it comes out naturally.
Plus,
sometimes.
He's hung around Rossi a lot, so what English he knows is usually critical words.
I'm just stunned. I thought you'd be crushing me for the signature.
I love ice cream.
No, but I can't overreact to your overreaction. I can't. You know, you're the one that wants.
We're so used to it.
To a signature win. I can't get that.
It's the first time I've been wrong in months. And you guys are
my God.
Kid gloves.
I can't get deflated about two losses in November, just like I can't overestimate one win in November.
That's admirable of you. So you're saying you're not convinced this team's in the tank.
We're also wrong
this.
About the Billy Goat cursing the Cubs against the Pirates, too.
No, they lost in the playoffs. Just came around a little later than I
moving the goalpost.
I moved the goalpost on that one. Yeah.
Okay.
You were wrong about thinking you'd be married happy after you were married, too.
No, don't say that. Love my marriage. Zappa and Seabus. Why are you laughing at that?
This is a funny.
That's the way you tried to get away from the topic was funny. Whether it's true or not is irrelevant.
Very true. Zappa and Columbus. How much Haley getting ripped for his play calling, guys? You got to give him. By the way, Haley hasn't been ripped for his play calling. Just to start this, I don't know where Zappa's coming from that one, but he says I got to give him credit for yesterday abandoning the run when it was apparent Cleveland was selling out to stop it. Sort of seeing them sort of turn New Englandish and keep passing was a welcome sight.
Well, I think it's a good point in that that's probably the most plays that Haley's called in a game all year because Ben didn't do much all week.
I could have seen them run the ball on the fourth down from the goal line. Mm. If I'm going to second guess one, you threw the ball on fourth down initially.
I agree. Instead of the fade to Bryant.
Load up, put Nix in there, put Will Johnson in there, just slam it in. For God's sake, make a statement against the friggin' Browns.
Well, I watched this over the weekend too, Tim. I can't stand when you're on the 1 yard line and guys are in the shotgun. Why do you want to go 6 yards further back with the ball? I understand the way the game's played and everything today.
Was that his foot related though?
This happened a lot in college over the weekend. I was just screaming about it.
Well, back to me being right all the time. Laird plan now 5 of 7 on 2-point conversions.
Stop calling it the Laird. It's the Laird doctrine.
Laird doctrine. What do you think? They're one away.
There's another Browns moment. I forgot about that because now you're going to make me think about missed extra points. They both missed an extra point.
Yes.
And Boswell missed the extra point. It bounces off the upright. The Browns player tries to return it like he's in the Arena League. I know you're an
That's
Arena
probably
League
where he
team.
Played last.
Right. He probably did play in the Arena League last year, and now he's on an NFL roster. But when it bounced off the upright and he fielded it and turned and ran, I had to laugh out loud.
I'm sure they have Pittsburgh Power footage. They could draw from CBS if they wanted to. This guy played for the Pittsburgh Power in 2013. He did something similar.
There's a good movie line we never. What league were you in last year? California Penal.
California Penal. Zappa also says.
It's true with Greg Hardy.
Nice to know the Pens pay all that money to score one goal in two games.
Oh, speaking of who's right all the time.
Well, this is what I was expecting. Yes, you predicted under 7.5.
Under 7.5.
I told him I was counting the one that Hornquist kicked in.
Yeah, so was Hornquist.
Even hey, is there any update on him?
No, practice? They haven't showed up yet. Practice is delayed.
I know, but they said when they got back to Pittsburgh, I thought maybe yesterday something might have come out.
Even Hornquist said that he thought that was a good call.
Yeah, he did.
David Altoona with a hockey note. Sheets Dave. Serious hockey question. Is Mike Johnston the right coach for this team, guys? The Penguins look lost, like the rest of the league has figured out their system.
I said from day one, and I, you know, there have been times where I thought I was wrong, and even earlier this year when they won 9 out of 11. Ken, you know, when I went to over there and watched him conduct his first practices, I said he just looks like a guy that's lost. He just does not command attention and respect to me. I don't know if the players like him, dislike him, don't respect him, but I look at a guy that has all of the books he's written and all of his notes and all of his theories, and it's like, now I'm behind the bench, how do I implement them? That's just the impression that I get with the guy.
Lovejoy had a nice game against the Devils, huh?
Wow.
Whew.
Well, yeah, you know I'm with you on that assessment. However, like, I think Tim does have a point to not overreact. I'm trying to be a more stable individual. They had won. How many did they won going into the weekend?
10 out of 12.
10 of 12. Okay, they lost two. The second on a back-to-back on the road.
3 games in 4 days. Blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blah. Still Columbus and New Jersey, although New Jersey's on a roll a little bit right now.
Just going to wait to push the nuke button for the moment.
High-scoring Minnesota Wild coming into town on Tuesday night.
Are they really?
Yeah, they are. Going into the weekend, they had the 5th best goals per game average in hockey.
Wow. The thing I disagree with Rob about is that it's not a league. Just because one or two guys here or there are on pace to have over 100 points, I still think it's a league-wide problem. But he is right. If some guy can do it, you would think Crosby and or Malkin would be able to be one of the some guys.
Arnold Slick from Turtle Creek, so he says, emailing us, has the time finally come to get rid of this empty suit coach? Can we please get somebody that will light a fire under some players' asses? So the Wolves are out after the 2-game skid over the weekend.
Look, they had a harsh disciplinarian in Therrien, and when they all felt established enough as pros, they quit on him. They had a guy who let them do what they want and played the way that they played and opened things up.
He was too much of a player's friend and too much of a player's coach.
And then they got disinterested in him and didn't listen to him when he tried to implement change, so Bylsma got fired. Now they've got the erudite, educated, John Wooden approach to coaching that Mike Johnston
has. Think about
it,
Tim. You couldn't have 3 more different personalities over the last 3 coaches.
They don't work.
There's not another flavor out there.
Right, and they don't respect any of them. This is just like the Penguins of old. It doesn't matter who the coach is. For good or for bad, it doesn't matter who the coach is. They'll win on talent. They'll lose despite their talent.
Ryan emails the show, and he's got his 3 takes, and he was requesting Josh Taylor announce his 3 takes, as he once did on this program. You up for this, Josh? Ryan's take?
Sure, sure.
Here we go.
I'll try my best guy doing Dunkin' Donuts reader's voice.
New Ryan. Bacon McMuffin.
On second thought, I'm not even going to try to top that, so I'll just do my own thing and suck at it. How's that? Ryan's take, number one.
For a change, I agree with the decision to dress and not start Roethlisberger, guys. It was a break the glass, and they absolutely could not lose. It all worked out.
Ryan's take, number two.
Nice flip from Rod Tidwell. 9.5 from the Romania judge.
Ryan's take, number 3.
Curveball. I emailed the Penn Show on Friday saying they need to rid themselves of Letang and his contract. Bombulli predictably took the bait and went nuts while throwing out that stupid Norris Trophy candidate false equivalency. And then the weekend happened and showed exactly what I was talking about. My favorite response to any email I've sent the show yet. So there's the bait-throwing Ryan.
Was Rod Tidwell number 84, too, or was he 81?
He was 85.
85. Okay,
of
85.
Course Taylor
That's
would
right.
know that.
That's right.
What?
No, because he was Rob Moore's number.
Syracuse
is Rob Moore. I should have known that.
Rod Tidwell's jersey. It's 85. It's like out of his mouth before you can even think of it.
Charlie Tweeter wore 82 on Varsity Blues, too. What? Everybody doesn't know that? What?
I actually went as Tweeter for Halloween once. I have a Varsity Blues...
Was there a shaving cream accompaniment from your female partner at the time?
Actually,
one could have only hoped.
I actually envy you for doing that. That's actually really cool.
I was Tweeter number 82 with the West Canaan Coyotes and the helmet and the shoulder pads.
Where'd you get the shirt?
I'm so proud of you for that.
What's that called? What's that T-shirt shop called online?
There's a bunch of them.
FunnyTees.com or something like that.
80s tees?
No, that was the 90s movie.
That's fantastic. I'm so proud of you.
Let's get one more in. We'll hear from Antonio Brown here in just a sec.
I had a New York Knights number 9 baseball jersey for a while. I don't know where that is. I was just thinking of that.
Who was New York Knights?
It was Roy Hobbs.
Oh, Roy Hobbs. John says, you look at the remaining 6 games for the Steelers, guys. I think minimum 10-6. The trip to Seattle, not as daunting. Colts are not as great this year. Baltimore and Cleveland, horrible. Horrible. I think the hardest game left is the Bengals, but they usually beat them on the road. I dare say 12-4 is a possibility.
This team lost to Baltimore at home. They lost to Kansas City. Let's pump the brakes a little bit here.
MyPartyShirt.com.
Oh, okay.
MyPartyShirt.com. There you go.
John says, I'll probably be wrong and they'll end up 8-8, but I can always dream.
No, six. I think it's very reasonable to expect at worst 3-3, barring any unforeseen things. You know, Ben gets knocked out for the rest of the year. Antonio Brown gets knocked out for the rest of the year. I still think the defense overachieved and played better than they're capable of at some for a good chunk of the first month or so, and I think they'll regress a little bit more and look more like they did against the Raiders last week.
No, man, they actually have tweeter jerseys now. I just had a shirt. Now there are jerseys.
Like an authentic real jersey.
You have lost me for the rest of the show here on MyPartyShirt.com.
There's Charlie Conway from the Mighty Ducks and Ray Finkel t-shirts.
What was Charlie Conway's number?
It was 91. It was 96.
Oh, no, that's right.
I'm also looking at it, too, so I cheated. But they have Ray Finkel 5 t-shirts, too, from Ace Ventura. This is fantastic. I love this.
Let's just stick to 84, shall we? Here's Antonio Brown. 10 catches, 139 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a signature forward flip into the end zone.
Where'd that flip come from?
Little excitement, you know, having fun with it, but I got to be smart, but I definitely start to land it.
What did the rushing judge give you?
Probably a 10. A good form.
Speaking of good form, Ben comes in, banged up, he comes off the bench. Pretty good form for a backup.
Man, the guy was literally in a boot on Coach's Monday. And, I mean, I can't speak highly enough about Ben. You know, he's a tremendous warrior. You never know what he's capable of doing. He's just on the brink of greatness. And anytime you got a great quarterback as such, we all reap the benefit.
How much stuff did you guys run this week that you hadn't run in practice?
Well, Ben in the practice one day, you know, but he was able to come to the game and have a great game. You can tell he's mental prepared. And he got in there and was he got us a chance to win.
How important was it to get this win going into the bye? They're all important, but this one specifically was to hit the bye.
Well, it's extremely important. You know, it's AFC North opponent. You know, if we want to be the team we desire to be and get to the playoffs, we know we're going to have to win division games. And it was it's exciting to get our first division win at home.
6-5. Like this team is at the
I think we're just okay. We still got to get better. I think we can learn a lot from today's tape. We got to continue to grow. But we had a positive point right now, and we got to continue to build off.
Did you feel like you needed to do more out there at all today because of Ben's, the fact that he was injured all week, maybe not 100%?
Not at all. You know, I got a lot of great teammates in this locker room. I got to continue to do what I do and don't put an extra overemphasis on anything. Just be my best self between plays and between series.
Let's talk about Martavis. Another big game for him. It seems like you guys are going hand in hand with big games.
Well, he continued to grow and get better. He came to work this week with a positive preparation, and you can see a benefit for him from the game. We got to continue to keep that going.
Maybe what kind of numbers might you have if Ben didn't get hurt this year?
Well, I can't make no estimates, but some pretty good numbers, I'll say that. Man, we're trying to make a play. Trying to finish the game on a high note. And end it with a touchdown. I probably should have went outside like Ben told me. But we got a pass interference and we was able to close the game.
You guys got a few pass interference penalties that helped you today. Is that them not having Hayden when you're out there?
Absolutely. Direct correlation of they did some back panicking and some down the field situations and paid dividends for us and help us put points on the board.
I know you have the quarterback that you want to be playing with, but did you have a chance to sneak a peek at Manziel at all today? Do you see him as a player?
Absolutely. Manziel is a young, exciting player. I think he did really well today against a good defense, and I think he'll continue to grow and get better.
Hey, folks! Can anyone else on this team stick a flip like that?
I don't know. Probably. We got a lot of athletes, but We'll see.
Did Mike say anything to you about that?
Yeah, he said it was better to stick the landing than land on my back, so. Ben said don't do it anymore, so.
Will you take his advice?
Absolutely, man. You got to be smart. We know what when we get back from this bye week, what these 6 games going to tell. So we got to buy in, be disciplined, and be ready to go.
Antonio, have you seen Heath play quarterback? And what would it have been like if he had been
in? Well, we seen him take a couple snaps in practice. He's not a big talker, so that would have been pretty weird.
Did you get a sense early on it was going to be on the passing game to move the ball? They seemed like they were selling out. The Browns were to stop the run.
Well, we knew we wanted to be a good team. We got to be able to run it. And in the midst of whatever they were trying to do, we knew we was going to have to be capable to run it eventually, but we knew we was going to have to try to hit some chunks on the passing game.
Some chunks they did hit, Antonio Brown. Ben said don't flip anymore. Mike Tomlin said better to stick the landing than land on your back. Actually, Tomlin said to the media he approved, or he was okay with it, and, quote, judge it, end quote. Talk to Heath Miller about his, because he was the emergency quarterback in the game. He was very funny. He said he had a 2-play playbook, handoff right, handoff left, and he was pretty nervous when Landry went down, and he was all of a sudden the backup quarterback remaining.
There was a palpable sense of disappointment on Twitter when Ben Roethlisberger came out for the first drive because people have wanted to see this 11-year experiment in the making of Heath Miller being quarterback, because you know, I mean, remember that 2005 team was, oh, we've got all the quarterbacks, you know, we got Ben, we got Hines and Randall Allen,
yeah.
Cedric Wilson played a little quarterback, remember that? And Heath played quarterback. We got to see every single one of them. Even Cedric threw a pass at one point. Heath is yet to throw a pass. So there's been like this 11-year incubation curiosity about whether or not Heath Miller is ever going to throw a ball in the National Football League. And it almost came to fruition yesterday. People are almost disappointed to not see it.
Kind of funny that Tommy Maddox was in the building, don't you think?
Yeah, I tweeted that out. It's good to see Tommy.
You talked to him. We'll hear that.
I always liked him.
I always liked Tommy a great deal. I think he was a little delusional, perhaps, that he felt like he had a puncher's chance of getting his job back after Roethlisberger started the way he did. But, you know, he was – there was some bitterness, I think, there at the end, but you didn't sense any of it yesterday. He couldn't have been happier to be there. But it was his first time back at Heinz Field since he left the team. And he was in a great mood. He was in great spirits and couldn't have been happier to be there. So I was glad to see that. I wasn't sure if we'd see Tommy at a Steelers-related function again after the way things ended when they left. And you know,
will we ever see Troy Polamalu at one?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, he was not, like, some guys had commitments, right? Hines couldn't be there because of NBC, and a few of the
Cower.
Guys didn't show up. Yeah, Cower.
Cower did the Jumbotron opening. Like, he waved the terrible towel in the Jumbotron and did a special salute from the studios to the team as they took the field at halftime, but I didn't see Hines.
I can't see the Jumbotron from my press box seat, so I wouldn't know.
We will hear at 12:40 today from Tim's interview with Tommy Maddox, my chat with Casey Hampton. And
he looks good. He's a guy you think could weigh 600 pounds now, didn't you?
Yeah,
I haven't seen him
lost
for a while.
Maybe a
I think
weight.
He did lose some weight. I thought he looked good. Willie Williams looked good. Willie Parker, I just saw Willie at training camp, not this past summer, but a year ago, so I had seen him recently.
Can't believe it's 10 years.
Trey Essex put the pounds on for everybody. He took the team effort.
We may not see Troy again, though, right? I mean, who knows? Maybe he will. Maybe he'll surprise
me. Yeah, personality-wise, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would revel in that kind of thing anyway, but I think at the moment, there's still an open wound there.
Yeah. Let's hear from Landry.
He might be the Lambert of this group where you just kind of never see him. Lambert came back for one, remember?
Yeah.
Did he come back for one?
It was a Monday night thing where they all got those, like, Letterman jackets or whatever. Those Steeler, you know, wool jackets with sleeves.
Landry Jones got his first win as a starter. Quite the win it was. Only blasted a series in a play? So when did he go down? How many plays?
He went down on a third down because they ended up kicking the field goal.
And they got one first down the first time on the first pass. So 3, 4, 7 plays, I think.
Here's what Landry said after his short performance and whether he could have got back in the game.
No. All last year he had games like that too. You know what I mean? So he's just a great player, and he's gonna go off like that, and he's gonna have games like that.
Pretty stunned at the turn of events early with you getting hurt. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. But it's a part of the game, and you know, got a great player like Ben come in and win the game for us.
Did you think right away that something was seriously wrong? I think it was Marcus who accidentally stepped on your foot.
Yeah, I knew something was going on in my ankle, and we'll see the scans and stuff, figure out what's going on from there.
Could you have come back into the game in the second half or even in the first half if needed?
If needed, yeah, I could have gone back and I think finished the game. I don't know how effective, I couldn't really move around, but I mean, I think I could have gone back and played.
First minute to start.
Hey, I know, that's what Ben was telling me on the sideline. He said, hey, congratulations for winning the starter. So I was like, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming in.
It's not a bad long relief guy.
No, maybe the most expensive backup in the NFL.
Was there any sort of discussion, even in the second half, about you coming back in, or was it just like obviously 7 months, like it was pretty good?
There was no real discussion about me coming back in at that point.
You getting carted off there. So it could be serious at that point, but then you can get that back. Just to get some,
yeah, I think they just wanted a precaution, see what's going on inside of it. So.
Looked like a throw game plan.
It turned out to be that way. It just turned out to be like that. I don't. We didn't go into the game expecting to throw that much, but you know, whenever it's there, you take what the defense gives you.
At what point in the week did you know for sure you were going to start Landry?
It was kind of always back and forth. Probably like Friday, Saturday, I kind of had a pretty good idea, and then when I came in today, they kind of told me that, hey, you're going, you're the guy.
Is it just, obviously, I was told Friday you and Ben were doing a lot of the same drills together, but just the quick turnaround he had to put up almost 400 yards and come in and have a day.
Yeah, I mean, he's an unbelievable player. You know, you can't say enough good things about the way he plays and just the way he can able to go in a game without really practicing and put up the day that he had. I mean, he's special. You know, that's the reason why we're winning a lot of games, because of what Ben's been doing lately.
That was an audio malfunction at the end. Oh. That was baby girl Britt McHenry stepping in, so
oh,
everything
gosh,
went to hell.
The painted pony.
Don't steal my line.
No, I'm giving you full credit, full marks.
And she walks like a pony. She walks around like a circus pony with its mane, you know, groomed. And
beauty's only skin deep, guy.
Or roots deep, in her case.
Laird, Benz, and Junker here on the Trib Live Radio Morning Show. That was Landry, the great Landry, who came in and got the job done with a 3-of-4 performance with a long pass of 10 yards, 23 yards total, and a quarterback rating of 88.5. You know, he'll be the backup the rest of the way. I do wonder what they do with Vic, if anything, Guy. Do you think they'll just keep him around, as you say, just
for
the third arm?
Well, what else are you going to do? I mean, you have to have the arm in practice. You have to have a third quarterback. I at this stage of the you know, it took him, even when he was getting some playing time and he had joined him partially into training camp, he was saying that he wasn't completely, you bring a quarterback in, now he's basically useless, you know, if he ever had even an emergency situation get in. I think he's your third string guy for the rest of this year, and then you get rid of him.
Trib Live Radio brought to you by Duffy's Beer. All your party supplies in the South Hills at the headquarters, duffysbeer.com as well. The college football weekend was quite entertaining. That was a Saturday. I didn't expect much from, quite frankly. There weren't a ton of like high-profile teams playing high-profile teams, but it ended up being one of the better weekends of the year.
Indiana gave Michigan a great game.
Yeah, that's a game I didn't see, but that went double overtime, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you had your eyes on the Big Ten guy. We're going to get Michigan State's quarterback, Connor Cook, got hurt. They still won, but now they're playing Ohio State, right, coming up this week. And, of course, Ohio State, Michigan, to end it out. But nobody was impressive in the top 25 except for Alabama. After I mocked the hell out of them last week, they were the only team that actually took care of business and won in style points. Tim, your Syracuse Orange gave Clemson a bit of a fight, I guess.
That was a very strange game because Syracuse couldn't have looked more Syracuse than they did in the first 3 minutes. They gave up a touchdown on the first two plays, and then they fumbled, and then Clemson scored again to make it 14-0. It was 14-0, and I think 7 plays had been run and won by Syracuse. So it was just awful at first. I was really, really thinking they were going to get their doors blown off. And then they came right back and tied it. It was something like an hour and 10-minute first quarter or something bizarre. Wow. I mean, it just took forever to get through the first quarter. But it was, you know, a game for most of it. And then Syracuse got a couple of phantom penalties, and they got a bench penalty for complaining about the penalties. And from there, Clemson just, it was never in danger of Syracuse winning.
Okay, but do you dock Clemson at all in your mind for style points? Like Dabo Swinney after the game was saying, this is hard, it's college football, you can't expect, you know, a beauty pageant, blah, blah, blah.
More painted ponies.
Yeah, more painted ponies. They have a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback, but if they're giving up 27 to Syracuse, should you take them off the one line?
Who do you put on the one line if it's not them, though?
I don't know.
Ohio State, who hasn't played anybody?
They all have flaws.
As of yet?
Right. Ohio State, who beat Illinois 28-3, is that
struggled
impressive?
Struggled early with that.
Yeah, right.
Right.
I guess I would put Ohio State first, based on probably bias of them being last year's national champion. That's clouding my judgment of it. But
they don't have a win as impressive as Florida State, though.
Some people say, like, on a, if they would play any of these teams on a neutral field, they feel they would win, just like a gut feeling thing. If you matched up Ohio State Clemson, who would win the game? At this point, Ohio State looks maybe a little more impressive. I don't know. It's tough. The Big 12, though, were they helped or hurt?
Baylor
Stanford
losing
actually probably takes the Pac-12 out of the mix.
Stanford losing hurts Notre Dame's chances of moving up.
That might be where it's more applicable, because if you're going to go by strength of schedule points, then Stanford's loss definitely diminishes what amounts to Notre Dame's championship game at the end of the season.
Okay, but Oklahoma State, who I was praising, barely won at Iowa State, and TCU struggled against Kansas, which makes Oklahoma State's win last week look worse. So it's like the Big 12 even comes off looking worse.
But, I mean, you're looking really deep into the strength of schedule numbers if you're talking about a team that you've beaten and what they have then won by against somebody else.
But
it's just,
is
a team win or not?
Oh, you don't go by the...
I don't go by the points of opponent victory? I mean, now you're really parsing things.
Yeah, maybe that is too deep, but what else do we have to go by? Like, for instance, now this is the beautiful...
Harvard lost.
Oh, Harvard lost.
Right when I was plugging them,
they Duquesne
lost.
Lose?
No, Duquesne...
Duquesne won, by the way.
Oh, okay,
yeah, they're
thanks.
In first place in the NEC. Duquesne didn't play this week.
Duquesne didn't play this week, but Duquesne Sacred Heart next week for the NEC title.
There you go.
Right, winner take
that.
All, baby.
That's enough of that.
But the beauty of
number
it was
one.
Temple lost to the team that Guy Junker does voiceovers for, the South Florida Bulls. So this week on the South Florida Football Story, he's got to praise the Bulls and Rip Temple, who beat Penn State earlier in the year. We had this big spat back and forth. But you're right, Guy. I don't know whether to take from – does that diminish Penn State's season? Because just because Temple lost another game to another team.
Well, South Florida's not a bad team. I mean, they've won 5 out of 6. They're only loss in that span is Navy. They're going to go to a bowl game. They have some good skill players. That running back Marlon Mack, a sophomore kid from Sarasota, who's really good. They're not a bad – and their defense is really good. They're finally putting some points on the board to go with it.
But, like, you could do this with every team. Like, North Carolina has one loss. It came in week one to South Carolina, who's not that good, but it was a rainy game. It was a sloppy week one game.
Right.
So should you hold that against North Carolina?
Shouldn't their quarterback be in the Heisman conversation more?
Yeah, maybe.
North Carolina's?
Marcus Williams.
Did you see what he did to the U? Like, literally to the U? When he scored the touchdown, threw up the U to the fans, and then put it over his junk?
That's a good move.
Really classy, but
so
nonetheless.
Tyler Boyd goes that. And
well, I don't think you're going to see a change in the top four in the playoff poll. I think Clemson will still be number one. Alabama's schedule is still ranked third in the country, and that loss to Ole Miss was pretty early in the year. So, as much as I hate having a one loss team up there, you know, when does Iowa? When does Oklahoma State? Even Houston now 10-0. Do any of them have any claim over a one-loss team?
Right. Let's take Iowa for instance. They won 40-35 against Minnesota for the big Rosedale Trophy, the pig, whatever that thing is. But is that impressive?
Iowa's schedule's been tougher than Ohio State's.
Who do they have left?
Iowa hasn't played anybody though. They haven't played any of the big powers.
Who's Ohio State played? Their schedule's ranked 67th in the country.
Yeah, they both stink.
The schedule
as far as the schedule so far.
Ohio State still has Michigan and Michigan State, right? Same as Penn State. They got to play both of them on the opposite weeks, though.
And how about Houston? They're undefeated. Beat Memphis.
Yeah, I have them in there, but their schedule's ranked over 100. Their schedule's been junk.
I guess the point is you're trying to – it is a beauty pageant. Isn't it a beauty pageant?
Yeah.
Like Dabo Swinney says it's not, but it is.
I was praising Utah last week because they had the 18th toughest schedule in the country, and they were 8-1, but they lost, so that drops them out. What about Florida? Florida is 9-1, and their only loss was to LSU by a touchdown. They got the 31st ranked schedule.
Yeah, but now LSU lost to Arkansas at home.
Yeah.
So that looks worse. It's all a total mess.
But Michigan State lost to Nebraska. Where do you put them? I mean, it is a mess. Everybody's got a blemish, which is why even though Iowa has played the 55th toughest schedule and Notre Dame's played the 25th, how do you have Notre Dame ranked ahead of them? They've lost the game.
Does Oklahoma get more love because they're hot? They beat Baylor. They got a quarterback that's putting up numbers. Are people, because of the Oklahoma mystique, do they start making a run here in the next few weeks?
I have two computers and neither of them work right now. So,
just use that powerful brain of yours.
Well, I don't know. Who does Iowa have left?
Iowa has nobody of consequence until the Big Ten title.
Purdue and Northwestern? Nebraska. All right. Well, what if Nebraska were to beat Iowa? So Iowa can still win that part of the division, right? What if they win that? This is my new chaos plan. This is my new.
This is not chaotic enough.
This is my new Jeff Goldblum chaos. No, because it's all a plan to get to chaos so somebody's left out. How many teams feel victimized when they're left out?
Yeah.
Iowa wins with one loss. Iowa then upsets either Ohio State or Michigan in the Big Ten championship game. Notre Dame has one loss. The SEC has one loss. The Big
Pac-12 is a mess.
Forget the Pac-12. Because it's better if, for chaos, if Notre Dame is on the fringe or in the conversation with one loss.
Okay.
So you've got maybe a Big Ten champ, Notre Dame, SEC, and let's say the Big 12 has one loss. So you got four teams with one loss. What the hell are you going to do?
Call Condoleezza.
And the Big Ten champ is Iowa.
She got a master's degree.
And the Big Ten champ is Iowa.
I would love to see a lot of that, too. I think what will happen, a lot of it will sort itself out. If Ohio State runs the table and beats Michigan and Michigan State back-to-back, you can't argue about them. If Notre Dame runs the table and all those Stanford, those are still tougher games than what Iowa has left. I mean, Iowa's strength of schedule is not going to go up significantly. The schools in front of them could, and I think kind of eliminate that argument.
I really like Iowa. I'm pulling for them. I like their team. It's tough. C.J. Beth. I like them since the Pitt game.
Well, I like Kirk Ferentz. Kirk Ferentz and Sean McDowell from DVE shared a paper out together when they were kids at Upper St. Clair.
That's great. He came on with us back in week 2.
That's right.
I bet you one group of people got their papers a little bit more diligently than the other.
That's right.
Is it an afternoon paper?
Well, Sean had his papers, but he was rolling them.
Yeah, I was about to say that, yeah. I was going to say the same thing.
Okay, well, in terms of Pitt's...
Never smoke the comic section. Everybody knows this.
In terms of Pitt's interest in this, as you say, maybe North Carolina and that quarterback deserves some Heisman love. That's their
Forget your nine loss. Wins in the pizza. Is there any chance they still could win this Coastal, win their two, and North Carolina lose their two?
Who's North Carolina got lost? Left?
They got NC State is one of them.
They have NC State, and then they have to go to Virginia Tech. And the reason I think that could be interesting,
Beamer's last
home game.
I think it's Virginia Tech first,
it
then
is.
NC
yeah.
State.
They're both on the road. Pitt's both are at home.
But Virginia Tech doesn't have a last home game?
Yep. No, their last game
is
on the road. It is
okay.
Their last home game.
But they'd still have the tiebreaker. I think they need to lose both.
They do, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's such a faint hope. I think Pitt can. I think Pitt will win their last two now.
Well, no. From Pitt's point of view, they're 5-1 in the conference. They're going to right now be the second best team from the Coastal.
Yeah, to me, the most impressive thing about Pitt right now is they're unbeaten on the road in the conference. That's pretty good. And I don't care who you're playing.
It's a good season. There are now, though, yet another signature coaching opening with Gary Pinkel stepping down at Missouri. USC's open. South Carolina's job's open.
You got the
open.
President out. His job there is done.
Would Narduzzi be a front runner for these jobs based on what he's done in year number one with Pitt?
God, I hope so.
I know you hope so.
After Tim's calling me once out of town.
You probably drove him out of town. You're going to get more hate for that.
What a shame that would be.
Well, for Pitt fans, it would be. Look at what he's done. Wouldn't you say this is a tremendous job? Chris Peek was talking in his Pantherless show.
I think if they lose their last two games, he's done a good job.
Well, I don't know if I'd go there. He's got to win least one of these two.
It's the first time in 6 years they've won. They're going to have a winning regular season record. That in itself, even if they that will tarnish things. Obviously,
both at home.
But I think you can. I don't think you have to say. Let's see what happens. I think he's already done a good job to this point, regardless of what happens the rest of the way. I think he could do a great job if they finish with 9 wins. They can finish with 10 wins, win a bowl game, and then he should be president.
Would USC come after him? Do you think he'd be in line for even that job?
That has been my prediction for how long now?
Since you wrote that column.
No, before I wrote that column.
If you're a Pitt fan, do you sit there and actually, geez, we don't want him to finish too strong, you'll leave. Do you ever think like that? Or
who's the better team right now? Going into last week, who was the better team? As the kickoffs occurred on Saturday, who was better, Louisville or Duke? Well, I think Louisville.
Really?
You might have actually played a less difficult opponent than you're going to play this Saturday.
Well, the backup quarterback, I don't know.
Who played pretty well. He got inundated late when they were down a lot. But, that can't be ignored. The guy is very inexperienced despite the fact that he put up some numbers. You know, I thought that was an ill-advised fake.
What a jag-off decision that was. Either go for it or don't.
That's right, yeah. I mean, that could have changed the whole game early.
Yeah, they were looking at Louisville's schedule. They lost to some good teams. They pounded Syracuse, Tim. You probably saw that game, 41-17.
Didn't. Oh, no? Couldn't stand to watch it.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, there's just a little college talk as the rankings will come out tomorrow night, the new and improved rankings. We'll see if Notre Dame is still getting the love. I guess they will. They won fairly handily over Wake Forest. Sports talk at tribweb.com. Heading to the noon hour of the program, brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza. We're talking all things Steelers and Browns, of course. Why didn't Ben start? Do you agree with the Tomlin decision-making? The Antonio Brown flip, where they're looking in the picture. What can you see from them here in the final 6 games of the year after the bye week now? And all their ins and outs. The Penguins' tumultuous weekend off the ice. They are on the ice now, by the way, and Geno Malkin was the first guy out there. So perhaps setting a...
Because he was mad at everybody in the room. He didn't want to talk to
him. Yeah, didn't want to stay there.
Is he backing up his tough words from after Saturday night? Also, you'll like this.
His only chance of scoring.
That's right.
Before the goalies get out there.
He was the first one on the ice, and it only took him 3 minutes to put one in the net.
Per Yahoo Sports, Gary Bettman, what did you guys file? Did you guys file for $9.6 million in earnings like Gary did last year for your salary and benefits?
So he makes $9.6 million.
$9.6 million for Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL.
So he earns one-fourth of what Goodell does?
One-fourth of Goodell. Is it one-fourth of the league? It's
not a bad exchange, actually.
And all the football talk from the weekend. Yeah, Ronda Rousey, too. My girl took one on the chin. Everybody's got to sometime. Lots to discuss. The Four Horsemen Hour coming up, brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta here on Trib Live Radio.
When you're interviewing for a job with a criminal record, it's like having an elephant in the room. Nobody wants to acknowledge it, but it's there, and it'll be the reason you won't get the job before you face a felony. Talk to an attorney who understands the importance of a clean record.
Call attorney Frank Walker, 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805.
The Sports Grill is a relaxing, family-friendly, come-as-you-are restaurant. Located on Freedom Road in Cranberry Township, at the Sports Grill, the focus is certainly on local athletes, from the little stars on the rise to the Hall of Famers. The Sports Grill has become a local gathering place to showcase all the talents from local athletes. It is truly the local coaches, ADs, players, and the moms and dads who make the local athletic tradition an integral part of the Sports Grill. The Sports Grill features 40 LED screens to watch all the Steelers games, with three of them 75 inches. For more information, check us out online at thesportsgrillcranberry.com. That's thesportsgrillcranberry.com.
Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com. Bud, Bud Light, and Coors Light 30-pack cans, only $18.99. Plus Miller Lite and Yingling 24-pack cans for only $14.99. Winter and Christmas beers are arriving daily. Give the gift.